the narrow road, and those who've gone before us light the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness, pass on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way, and may the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way, and may the footprints that we leave lead them to be, the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful, and may the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Find us faithful.
Thank you. Let's all stand together and turn to Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1. And then I neglected to pass these out. Ushers, I need your help, Brother Charles. At the end of the service, I need them to have not right now, but at the end of the service, have the children's Bible reading and then the January prayer request, and they can just pass them out the door. We passed out, these were, for some reason, everything we printed came in, but these were late for some reason, some mistake. So we passed out some children's Bible reading schedules last week so they could get started. We printed in-house. These are much better. These are the real deal. And so if you have children on the way out, can you grab them one? We want them to read through the New Testament this year so they can do their daily reading along with the adults, and they are in Matthew. So if you could do that. And then we have the devotional book list. We have been encouraging you. If you can, $10 would get them for the whole year. But if you don't have that now, just grab one on the way out for your family. We would like to get those in your hands. And we're just encouraging you, if your family's together for dinner, maybe read those. It'll take 2 minutes before you have dinner, and it has a nice little thought. Psalm chapter 1. We'll read the whole psalm here, 6 verses. And then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this morning, this opportunity as we start 2016 for another great year together as a church and as individual Christians. I pray, Father, as we look this year much at your word and strive to make it a daily part of our lives, I pray that you would be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this Sunday is our Fresh Start Sunday. I hope that you had a great 2015. I know many of us did, and as a church, we had a great year. I want to thank you for that. We are now, really now, the holiday season is over, okay? And so all those diets, you've all been dying to get started. You can start those things immediately, all right? The last 2 weeks, if you're trying to watch what you eat and all that, the last 2 weeks have been horrible, all right, on purpose, which is good. But it's a new year. Let's get off to a good start. I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you got every gift that you wanted within reason. I heard a story about a man. He lived in a remote area, and they didn't have trash service, and they had to kind of burn and get rid of their own trash. Well, he had a great idea how to get rid of all of his trash. What he would do is he would get a big box. He'd put all of his trash in a box. He would wrap it up like a gift and put it on the side of the road. And people would come by, and every time he went out there, someone grabbed the gift and took it. And when they opened it up, they realized that they got garbage. I hope that you didn't get that for Christmas. And if you did, it's probably a sign from the person who gave it to you that there's an issue with your relationship. You need to work on that. But now we get back to the regular life. As I mentioned on many occasions, life is not like Instagram. Okay, we look at pictures on Instagram and everything's wonderful and everybody's smiling, and as soon as the picture's over, nobody's smiling, all right? And we kind of think of life as those big moments. Most of life is just the regular stuff of life, the regular routine. And by the way, learn how to find joy in the regular routine, because that's what most of your life is. If you always have to go somewhere to do something, to have fun and enjoy life, you're not going to enjoy life very much. And I'm not against doing things. We actually, our family, the ones that didn't go to camp, we actually went to Disneyland on Monday, and that was a really, it was long. It was crowded. We had fun and all that, but that's the first time I've went, I think, 15 years, and I'm good for another 15, okay? That was a crowd. There was a line just to get in the restroom. There was a line just to walk, but we had a really good time. And they had a Starbucks there, so it was good. But life, that's not life. If you've always got to do something like that to enjoy life, you're not going to enjoy it very much. And so let's get back on schedule, particularly spiritually speaking. Life is exciting. I hope that you have some New Year's resolutions, not necessarily resolutions, but some things in your life that you want to do, and some areas in your life you want to improve and you want to get better, and maybe the new year is a time to do that, and I hope that you're doing that. Now, what we did last week is we introduced our brand new theme, Explore the Book, and we talked about that a little bit. We are encouraging you to make some commitments related to the Bible. We went over these last week. I hope you got off to a good start. If you didn't, it's only day three. You can still get right on the track. We encourage you to make a commitment about your Bible reading. Either commit to reading your Bible through completely one time this year, or maybe you do that on a regular basis. Maybe you would commit to read through it twice this year. The Bible reading schedule has two boxes. You can do that. We also want your children to commit to read the Bible. And so we got them a Bible reading schedule for the New Testament. It's a chapter a day. It's not that hard. I think in some places it may not even be a complete chapter. And then no matter what Bible commitment you make, we encourage you to make that a daily thing. Not just I'm going to read my Bible through this year and then you read it and you miss 3 months, you got to catch up. I'm talking about making sure you do it each and every day. We encouraged you to do your family devotions. If you don't do them, do them once a week, at least. If you want to do it more, that's great, really. Ours is on Saturday. Last night, we had it, and basically, we all gather around. We try to keep everybody in line because everybody has something funny to say, and the little kids are running around picking their nose and doing all that stuff. And so we go around. They tell you if they're caught up on their Bible reading, if they're staying on their Bible reading, something they learned from their Bible reading that week, just a brief thought, and then a blessing and a prayer request. That's it, okay? But I encourage you to do that. And the Baptist bread is not really part of that, but I encourage you, before you eat your meal, maybe just grab that and read a devotion. And then church attendance. If you're pretty faithful on Sunday mornings, you're a Sunday morning type church member, and you come pretty faithfully, but you miss, maybe this is the year you say, I'm going to come every single Sunday morning. I'm not going to miss. If you're out of town, you go to a church while you're out of town. Maybe you come on Sunday mornings, and maybe some others, you would make that commitment. I'm going to come to the other church services. But we did all of that, and we're encouraging you because that's our theme, and I think it will help you. Last week, as we introduced our theme, we talked about the importance of God's word in helping us to have all that God had for us. His admonition to Joshua as he was going into the promised land, I have this for you, and I want you to have victory. I want you to get all this, but he tied it into God's word. And as we mentioned last week, we said basically the key to every problem that we have, or the key to being successful in everything we do, is God's word. The reason most people, 90 to 95% of the struggles in your life, 90 to 95% of the problems you have in your life, or the problems that come into your life, or the circumstances that come into your life that you have trouble getting victory over or have trouble getting through, 90 to 95% of that would go away if you would simply get into God's word each and every day and make it a part of your life. You say, wow, that's in the scripture. And it's in the scripture we also read this week. And so we'll read for a little bit. We'll for the next few weeks or so, we will be talking about exploring the book. This week, we're looking at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 is a companion verse with Joshua. And in fact, in many ways, it mirrors the verses that we read in Joshua last week. And God promises success in every way of life. The Psalm presented two ways of life here. The first few verses presented the way of blessing, prosperity, and joy. Now, when we think of prosperity, don't think necessarily of being rich. That's not prosperity. That's how man rates prosperity. But many rich people are not very happy. God rates prosperity as fulfilling his will, having everything that you really need, and having that joy of God that he gives to us. The other flip side is, if we don't want to go that way, we have that way of judgment, a lack of purpose and defeat. The choice is always ours. Where do you want to fall? What way do you want to go? What kind of life do you want to have? The type of life you have is not determined on your circumstances. The type of life you have is not determined by your upbringing. The type of life you have is determined by the choices that you make, and primarily the choice you have to get into the Word of God. Yes, there are some people have circumstances in their life they need to overcome, but can I just tell you something? God's Word can help you to overcome that. Yes, there are things that come our way that we have to deal with, and maybe you did not have a good upbringing. Maybe you had, you know, issues in your family growing up. Now, all of us have issues to a certain extent, but those are, again, challenges you have to overcome, and you're an adult now. God can help us get over those challenges. But we have to choose the path that we will walk down. The path we choose will determine the type of journey that we take in our life. Some people are like, life has been hard for me. In many instances, and in most instances, that hardness has been brought on by choosing to go down the wrong path. God wants to give us help. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does that mean? The Bible helps us in those steps that we have to take every day. That's the lamp to the feet. And it's a light to your path. It helps us as we look to the future, which direction we're going to go in our life. It gives us light for that too. That path is determined by God's word. The path we choose determines the destination we will reach. You know, I think it's, I'm not an Alice in Wonderland, but I think in Alice in Wonderland, I read there was a, they come to a fork in the road, and it says, one of the characters says, which path shall I take? And the guy goes, well, where are you trying to go? He goes, I don't know. Then she goes, it doesn't matter which path you take. Okay. Where are you trying to get to? Wherever you're trying to get to, that path is going to take you there. So many people want to get to over here in their life, but yet they're taking a path that's taking them over here. Say, how do we get deceived? Again, it all is the choices we make, determined by God's word. In Jeremiah chapter 21, it says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have set before you the way of life, the way of death. It's our choice. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Which path will we take? The path we choose determines the type of person we will become. What do you really want to be? God wants us to be like Jesus Christ. God wants us to be conformed to his image. And if we're getting into his word on a daily basis and trying to make it a part of our life, we can become more like him and more like God wants us to become. How do we do that? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. The word of God helps to make us what God wants us to become. But if you look at this verse, we see two decisions in our life that will influence us as to which path we shall take. Psalm 1, just like Joshua 1, promises joy and blessing and prosperity and success in everything we do if we have the right reaction to God's word. But there's two decisions here briefly this morning. The first decision is to reject. To reject. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man, happy, joyful is the man. And then he tells us some things they're not supposed to do. Which walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the joyful, the seat of the scornful. You see, God's promises come with conditions. It's not just some carte blanche. That's why God said, I will make you successful at every single thing that you do. That sounds dangerous. If you came to the average person and said, listen, I will do everything I can. I will promise that you can be successful in anything that you do, that would be dangerous. Because most people would choose things that aren't right. But when God promises success in whatever we do, he ties it to a condition. That condition is his word. Because he knows that if we're in his word, we will desire the things he wants us to have. And if we desire the things he wants us to have, and we take the path he tells us to take to get the things that he has for us, he knows we'll be successful. And we will achieve it. But it does start with a negative. Not only do we choose God's word, we have to reject some things that are against God's word. That is normal. When you got married, you said, you are forsaking all others. Wasn't just a choice to say, I'm marrying this person. By you making the positive saying, I'm marrying this person, you were making the decision to reject everybody else. And that's what he's telling us here. There are some things that he tells us to reject. Well, you know, I don't like negatives. I don't like lists. That's a criticism some people have of Christians. Oh, some of you have lists. God has lists, not me. By the way, you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Did you know it's a list? And that list has positives, thou shalt, things that help us. But that list also has some negatives, thou shalt not. Those are things that would hurt us. And it's true of everything. See, it's true. Look, life is list. You can't go over 65. And if you're driving through a school zone, it's even less than that. That's life. To have the positive, sometimes you have to reject some things that are negative. By the way, he mentions what these are. The two go together, by the way. They help each other out. But there are three things we need to reject. What are they? This is, we first of all, we got to reject living by godless counsel. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's walking? Walking is a picture in the Bible of how we live our life. We're walking not. We're not living our life by the counsel, the help, the teaching, the false truths, as it were, of those who are ungodly and don't know God. Now, let me say this. We're talking about spiritual things here. If you had a teacher who wasn't a Christian and she said 2 + 2 = 4, that's true. Well, she's not a Christian. It's true. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when they get into the philosophies of life, how we're supposed to live our life. We're supposed to reject the counsel of the ungodly, those who don't know the Lord. So often we listen to people and we hear what they say, and that sounds good. By the way, you'll know their counsel is ungodly when you're in God's word. How do you know something they're saying isn't true? Because I know what the truth is. I've heard it. We got to be very careful. We allow all kinds of people. Well, I heard somebody on the radio and they said this and it just sounds good. You know, Dr. Laura was saying that we should do this in our marriage. Dr. Laura is not my, she's not my teacher, my counselor. Now, I'll be honest, I listened to her one time. We were driving somewhere years ago, and I put her on the radio. And actually, what she said, Brother Panay, was pretty good. Some lady was called, like, oh, I don't trust this guy. I'm going to marry him. And he was doing all. She goes, don't marry him. She goes, but I have to. I'm in love. She goes, okay, if you marry him, do this. Don't have children. Because when you get divorced, that just makes it harder. I'm like, wow, she tells the truth. But you know what? Half her truth probably isn't even scriptural. Where are we getting? Well, you know, I was watching the Oprah show. And they said, if I drink this tea, my IQ will go up. First of all, if you want your IQ to go up, drink coffee. There you go. That's not in the Bible, but I've been looking for it for years. I'm going to find it someday. You know, Hebrews, there you go. That's why men should make the coffee. It says Hebrews, not Shebrews. But look, by the way, what's happening in our society now, you can't even watch a sports show without them getting into that. Oh, two guys kiss each other and they think that's like the top of the sports page. It has nothing to do with sports. It has nothing to do with life. And it's, you know, not to get negative here, but Romans 1 says that's an abomination and a reprobate. Just to throw that in. But we just listen to these things and they throw these little things out. I heard it on this and I saw it on that. Listen. If it's ungodly, if it's not from Scripture, God says we have to reject it. Have to reject it. Why? Because we cannot accept that which is false and that which is true at the same time. What does the Scripture say? We have to reject living by godless counsel. Be very careful. Say, I go to a public college. Listen, you got to be very careful. Most of the public school systems, period, aren't teaching math and English anymore. They're teaching philosophies. They're teaching philosophies. Okay? It's not algebra. I mean, they're teaching philosophy. That's got to be rejected. Be very careful who you allow to teach and influence your children. I put my children in a Christian school for a reason. I remember how public school was when I was growing up. And that was back when we didn't even have cars. Kidding. Just back in the day. It was bad then. I remember a teacher would tell us he'd give us drugs and to get us ready for our driving test. He said, I'll get you some Valium and I'll get you a six-pack of beer, you'll be fine. That was my driving teacher. Listen, it's not good. We need to stick to what God says, and when somebody else is ungodly, we got to reject all that. Be careful who you allow to influence you. He also said, we're living by godless counsel. He says, we're lounging with godless companions, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know what that's talking about? Who we have friends? Who are our friends? Who are we hanging around with? See, who we hang around with influences us. Sad to say, most Christians at work, when you go to work, you allow those unsafe people to influence you instead of you influencing them for right. I'll be honest. I've worked at places where it's like, I ain't going in the break room. There's just too much nonsense in there. No, I wasn't sociable. I talked to some of the guys, and there's times I go in, we talk about stuff that's benign, you know, nothing serious. But listen, I go in there, nonsense is going on. You got to be very careful. Mission one time, I was working with a group of guys, and there was five of us. We worked overnight, and the second shift would leave, and it was just us. I went on vacation, and they were good guys. They were nice guys. I came back from vacation, and there was no supervisor there overnight. I came back, and I said, hey, we just wanted to tell you something. While you're on vacation, we started a new Tuesday night tradition. We're going to have porn night on Tuesday nights. We're going to bring the videos. We're going to watch in the break room. And I now, you know what I could have done? Maybe I should have. I don't know. I could have just been quiet. I said, no, you won't. I'll turn you in. I don't want that anywhere near me. They only had it the only time when I was on vacation. Now, I'm telling you, these were not bad guys per se, but they weren't Christians. And they didn't get it. They didn't understand how dangerous that kind of stuff is. You go to work all the time and you allow people, well, you know, be very, very, love people and don't hide in a closet. I'm not telling you that. But I'm just saying, you got to be very careful who we allow ourselves to be around because they influence us. Got to be very careful. We're very careful about, look, when you were growing up, I'm sure you had something where your parents would say, I don't want you hanging around. Remember, there was a guy I used to hang around with. He was my age, Brother Pineda. His name was Bobby Carr. Bobby's parents weren't around a lot, and Bobby had a lot more freedom. And when Bobby and I were together, we constantly, constantly, constantly got in trouble. I remember one time we did something and we got in trouble. She's like, you can't hang around with Bobby Carr. Now, if she only understood that I was the instigator half the time, she would have. But I was more than willing to let Bobby take the fall. She goes, you can't hang around with Bobby Carr. And I'm thinking in my mind, she ought to say something about Joe and John Esposito. I shouldn't be hanging around those guys. They're worse. They made Bobby Carr look like a saint. But she's like, don't hang around those guys. They're bad for you. Now, we were bad for each other. But parents are like that sometimes, right? You want to watch who your kids are around. By the way, sometimes we have kids, even our school, they're good kids, but none of them are leaders, and they probably shouldn't be just hanging around by themselves with no supervision. But let's be very careful who we allow. It's not just the kids, and it's not just the teenagers. I have found it's the adults. Who are you hanging around with? That includes your social media. You get on that social media and old friends start coming back and, oh, you know, this is someone that I kind of dated in high school. You don't need to even talk to them. I don't do it. They want to be my friend. X. Only social media I have Instagram. And sometimes someone will follow, and I don't even hardly look at it anymore. But someone's following me. I don't even know who that person is. Now, maybe it's you and you had a goofy name, and if I rejected you, get over it. Okay? Give me your name and maybe I'll let you follow me. If you're lucky. I post one picture every 6 months, but it's a good one. Look, I'm like, I don't even know who it is, so I just click the X, you know? No, I don't know who you are. I'm trying to get followers. But be very careful. Get those emails. I mentioned you work and whatever, and especially if it's someone that's the opposite gender. Don't do it. Be very careful. How are we going to accept the truths and the principles of God's word if we're allowing ourselves to be around people who influence us the complete opposite? Be very careful. One thing I had to do as a new Christian is I had to get new friends. Now, I loved my old friends, but I understood that when I was with my old friends, it was not good. So whenever I went around them, I tried to get them to church. That's what I tried to do. Remember, I mentioned one Friday night, I wasn't out. I quit going out with them. And two of my buddies came on a Friday night, like, what are you doing? And just so happens, I was in my back room reading my Bible at that time. I didn't do that 24/7, but just so happens they came in, I was reading something. So what have you been doing? You know, what were you doing right now? I'm like, I was reading my Bible. Oh, hey, well, we just want to see how you're doing. We got to go. That scared them away. But by the way, I'd bring them to church, and I cared about them, but I was not going to go with them and do the things they used to do. Very careful. Who's influencing you? be careful even, and I'm not saying, don't. We need to love our family members and be with, but don't let your family members even reject you. Man, those family members when I was a teenager I hang around with, and they allowed me to do things. My mom's hair would have fell out if she knew. Oh, but that's your uncle. Man, uncle was close to my age. Okay? Be very careful. Sometimes we want to do the right thing, but we're with the wrong people. You know, Proverbs warns us. It says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It doesn't even necessarily say we'll become like them. God says we'll be judged just by being around them. We're never going to be what God wants us to be if we're around the wrong kind of people. And then he also mentions learning from godless critics. What is this? Nor sitteth in the seat of a scornful. Sitteth is a position of willful learning from another. Remember the maniac at Gadara when he was healed and he was a crazy man. And when they all came back, they saw him after Jesus took all the demons out of him. They came back and what was he? He was clothed and he was in his right mind and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know what that means? He was sitting there specifically learning from him. Who are the scornful? Scornful are those who are critical of God in spiritual things. Placing ourselves under somebody who is anti-God. By the way, it's all over our society now. Used to be people had respect, even if they weren't Christians, they had a little bit of respect for God. They had a little bit of respect for Christians. But can I just tell you something? They don't anymore. Two reasons. Number one, Christians don't live like Christians anymore. We say we're Christians, but we sure don't live like it. And just because our world has gotten more and more and more anti-God, as Christianity has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker, we've had less influence in our society, and our society is more and more and more anti-God. They are. Not just amoral, like, you know what, you're a Christian, I'm not, that's fine for you. They're trying to tell us to be quiet. They criticize us at every single turn. Don't listen to that stuff. Well, you know, that's just somebody that doesn't know God, and they're, don't listen to it. By the way, that is why it's vitally important that we know God's word and we know what we believe. Someone sits there and starts spewing non-Christian nonsense, and you have no idea how to combat it because you don't know anything about God's word. Talking to someone recently, and their beliefs weren't like ours, and they sat there and they were starting to tell me their beliefs. I'm glad I was able to answer a lot of those. Like, don't, you can't just make that blanket statement. I know what you're talking about. That's not true. You might want to check it out. I'm glad I wasn't fooled. But we start listening to this stuff. Listen, if I was hanging out with these guys, and all of a sudden they start talking bad about my wife, I'll probably join in with them. Just kidding. Listen, you're not going to talk bad about my wife. That's my job. Just kidding. Talk bad about my wife? Well, do you know, Brother Chim, that Miss Alma is this and that? Whoa. You talk about my wife like that. And by the way, not a man here would allow that. But we'll hang around people that talk about the Lord like that. Now, I'm not saying we need to beat them up, but I'm just saying we need to say, you know what? Don't listen to that nonsense. Well, you know, they have a little bit of truth. That's like digging through the garbage can for a bologna sandwich. You might get the bologna sandwich, but you're going to get a lot of other stuff in the meantime. Listen, we are to reject anything that's contrary to God's truth. Anything. I'm not saying let's be hateful to people if they don't know God. They just don't know any better, but I'm not going to listen to them. And we need to turn that attention and put it on God's word, because that's where the blessing comes. See, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Hey, you know, I heard this person say this, and that just sounds good. I remember years ago, a couple were having some struggles, and I think they had separated for a while. The man came in, and he gave me why they were doing what they were doing. I'm like, where'd you hear that from? And he told me, I'm like, what do you think? I said, that's ridiculous. You got some bad advice. to their credit, they listened. What are we allowing to be the number one influence in the path that we take? If it's not God's word, you're not going to get to where God wants you to be. And the success that he promises in life, you will never experience. So if you're going to listen to God's truth, step number one is you got to reject that which is wrong. Now ask yourself this morning and we're done. What ways are you allowing that which is wrong to influence you? Some people, it's the songs you listen to. You can't, I'm just listening for the music. Don't give me that. You know, it's funny. Whenever they want to teach children something, you know what they do? They put it to music. Right? I remember when Emily was could barely talk, she knew her ABCs. Why? Because we had this stupid little toy. And I'd sit down with her and she'd push a button. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I even learned my alphabet by that. And we would push it over and over and over and over and over, and she could sing the song, A, B, C. She knew it. I taught her how to spell her name when she was a little tiny, barely. Yeah, bingo. Someone had a dog. It was B-I-N-G-O. I just changed the words, you know, and her name was Emily, E-M-I-L-Y. I'm not singing the song for you because that'll ruin the whole service. She learned how to spell. Listen, you cannot listen to garbage in that. Those words have effect in your life. You can't do that. By the way, that's why we use these songs right here. These songs have some depth in them. These songs have some meaning. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to? Who are you hanging around with? Who are you learning from? You must be very careful, for you'll never learn God's truth and be on the path he wants you to be on if you're allowing any false thoughts and truth to seep into your life. Let's all stand together this morning.